Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District, Steve Pierce. Steve, some sad news from Nashville this week.
Just another horrific shooting there. A 28-year-old person walked into the school and shot 3 children, 9 years old, point blank, killed them, and then shot 3 of the workers at the school, also point blank, killed them before being killed himself. It was a male who 20-something years ago attended that same school and now identifies as female, went in and did the killing. I think the thing to note among all of the attempts to politicize this, I mean, that's very predictable, but the shooter actually had another school that he was going to target in addition to this one, but he bypassed the first one because of the security measures were too good. And so when I was asked by KOAT this week, what would I recommend, gun control? And I said, no, securing the schools is what we need. We don't need to take away people's constitutional rights because somebody else violates the law. What we need to do is secure the schools. And so I said, use the shooter's own example. But then the second thing is, again, you can't control crime until you control the mental health. And obviously, somebody who's under counseling, but also somebody who walks in and shoots kids point blank at range without motivation is really mentally unstable. And so those are the things to think about. But we're getting the same calls for gun control. Take the guns out of the hands of everybody. That way, mentally ill can't get them. And most of the guns are stolen. That's where you get guns in the hands of criminals. We have too many guns in the country. Well, that's a part of freedom, and taking away the constitutional rights from law-abiding citizens is never the answer how to stop crime. So we'll see where it goes. But again, a tragedy that is taking place in Nashville as we're speaking.
Governor DeSantis of Florida, a possible presidential candidate, came up with an education bill for Florida, and we should be looking at things like that since we're last here in New Mexico. Why don't we look at how more successful states are dealing with their public education?
Well, number one, we don't look because the unions in control of education in New Mexico don't care about the actual quality of education. They care about the things that the unions push, whatever that is, higher pay, shorter hours. At one point, the unions are pushing that they shouldn't have to go back to school at all. They should be able to teach virtually. And so that's the reason they don't look. But Governor DeSantis just this week signed into law House Bill 1. And what it does is it makes Florida number one in education freedom throughout the entire country. That education freedom and education choice are going to be the cures for all education. Competition is always good. It sharpens up both sides. But when the unions control the schools, they don't have to worry about any competition here in New Mexico. So they continue to offer the same sorry product that they always have. And it's not going to improve until they have to improve it. And education choice will cause that to occur. When people leave the public schools or leave certain public schools that just can't get their act together, then they'll either shut down or get their act together. And that's the power of this bill that Governor DeSantis signed into law. But I think that a second thing that happened there is that the same law mandated that the State Board of Education began to look at ways to cut the regulations on school teachers and on the schools. Many times our teachers are hamstrung from actual teaching. And so cutting those regulations to where teachers have more freedom obviously would result in a greater, better product. Here in New Mexico, to those things, we need to add, if we're going to improve education in New Mexico, we need school choice, but we also need apprenticeship programs. I don't care if those are run by private industry, but when 50% of your kids are not going to go to college and 50% of the ones who do are going to drop out, you better be dealing with the 75% of the population who does not have a college degree. And why shouldn't we be training people to have jobs and careers? Right now, driving a truck in the oil field, you can make above $100,000 driving a truck. You're at home every night in your own bed. And if you want to work overtime, then you actually make more than that. And so why shouldn't we be training New Mexico kids for those jobs instead of letting them graduate from high school with no future, no hopes, no dreams? And so I think apprenticeship programs are huge. You know, learning and teaching are two of the most powerful things in human nature. I still learn a lot. I put myself in a position to learn a lot. A few years ago, flying my plane around the world by myself at the age of just almost 70, I was still learning a great amount on that trip, and I'm currently engaged in several projects to just keep myself fresh and vital and moving. It's exciting. And teaching, I put myself in a position to teach. And again, that's very powerful. But what the schools are doing with the union-controlled curriculum, they're driving the love of education out of both the teacher and the student. If we would return the love of teaching to teachers, then we could begin to solve the problem. But until that point, our teachers are going to continue to quit. The good ones are going to continue to move on to other careers. And it will leave the mediocre to poor teachers in the classroom. I think the one thing that we all ought to agree on is that bad teachers should be taken out of the classroom, period. No one should be subjected to them. So a lot of things that we can do here in New Mexico to mirror the success that other states have. But until we break the control unions have over the schools, then we're not going to succeed ever here.
I've heard it said that part of the reason they don't want school choice on the left is because they're using the schools to indoctrinate woke ideas. And if woke ideas are so good, why don't you see, and maybe they're out there and I don't know about it, but are there any private schools that are teaching woke curriculums?
Yeah, I don't know if there are or not, but you're exactly right. The woke curriculum is dividing the country. In fact, I want to play a clip here just how this agenda is dividing us. C-SPAN hosted Camus Cambon recently, and we've got a short clip of what he's saying there. But the takeaway is that the left is trying to divide us against each other. We need to, at some point, realize that we ourselves are not enemies to each other. When we divide, then we're going to lose as a country, and that's what the left wants. We should be harmonizing and finding ways to overcome our differences. But listen as Mr. Cambon expresses his opinion.
Now, what we have to do is we have to devise a system or a plan for ourselves. And I said earlier that each one of you is a system. And everything that you do, every thought that you think, either you are supporting white world terror domination by your actions, what you buy, what you wear, where you go, what you eat, how you use your time. You are either supporting the white people in their process of death, or you're for African liberation. It's one or the other. And if we don't use our time wisely, then we are engaging in a form of subtle suicide. Because as I said earlier, their system is still going on. They still have these images on TV that are going on. They're still warehousing our children into special ed, giving them Ritalin. There are no jobs. We fill in the hospitals. So their system is not stopping. And then finally, I want to say that we need one idea, and we're not thinking about a solution to the problem. We're dealing with all these other things, but these are diversions from the solution to the problem. And we have to start to think about a solution to the problem so that these young brothers and sisters who are here now, who are 15, 16, and 17, are not here 25 years later talking about these same problems. Now, how do I know that the white people know that we are going to come up with a solution to the problem? I know it because they have retina scans, they have what they call racial profiling, DNA banks, and they're monitoring our people to try to prevent the one person from coming up with the one idea. And the one idea is how we are going to exterminate white people, because that, in my estimation, is the only conclusion I have come to. We have to exterminate white people off of the face of the planet to solve this problem. Now, I don't care whether you clap or not, but I'm saying to you that we need to solve this problem, because they are going to kill us. And I will leave on that. So we have to just set up our own system and stop playing and get very serious and not be diverted from coming up with a solution to the problem. And the problem on the planet is white people.
That is a very extreme case. And I was happy to see that very few people in the audience clapped when he said white people should be exterminated. I was disappointed that anyone would clap, just as I would be disappointed if someone said all black people should be exterminated. But these kind of comments are how you get us fighting with each other.
Yeah, and that's what many people say, is that the Communist Party worldwide is probably funding a lot of the activities that are coming from the woke groups here in this country. But BLM, the Black Lives Matter, at one point espoused on their webpage the top objective was to destroy the nuclear family. When you destroy the family, then you're going to destroy the country. And so these are Marxist ideas that they're trying to implant in our school kids. And I think the second thing we should all agree on is that indoctrination never has a place in the classroom. Keep teaching science, math, reading, keep teaching the basic core subjects. We do not need to indoctrinate our kids at schools.
I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. This is Inside New Mexico, and we'll be right back.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Thanks for staying with me on Inside New Mexico. We're going to play you the audio from a video called Mistakes Were Not Made, an anthem for justice. It was written by Margaret Anna Alice.
The Armenian genocide was not a mistake. Holodomor was not a mistake. The Final Solution was not a mistake. The Great Leap Forward was not a mistake. The Killing Fields were not a mistake. Name your genocide. It was not a mistake. That includes the great democide of the 2020s. To imply otherwise is to give them the out they are seeking. It was not botched. It was not bungled. It was not a blunder. It was not incompetence. It was not lack of knowledge. It was not spontaneous mass hysteria. The planning occurred in plain sight. The planning is still occurring in plain sight. The philanthropists bought the science. The modelers projected the lies. The testers concocted the crisis. The NGOs leased the academics. The scientists fabricated the findings. The mouthpieces spewed the talking points. The organizations declared the emergency. The governments erected the walls. The departments rewrote the rules. The governors quashed the rights. The politicians passed the laws. The bankers installed the control grid. The stooges laundered the money. The DOD placed the orders. The corporations fulfilled the contracts. The regulators approved the solution. The laws shielded the contractors. The agencies ignored the signals. The behemoths consolidated the media. The psychologists crafted the messaging. The propagandists chanted the slogans. The fact-chokers smeared the dissidents. The censors silenced the questioners. The jackboots stomped the dissenters. The tyrants summoned. The puppeteers jerked. The puppets danced. The colluders implemented. The doctors ordered. The hospitals administered. The menticiders scripted. The bamboozled bleated. The totalitarianized bullied. The COVIDians tattled. The parents surrendered. The good citizens believed and forgot. This was calculated. This was formulated. This was focus grouped. This was articulated. This was manufactured. This was falsified. This was coerced. This was inflicted. This was denied. We were terrorized. We were isolated. We were gaslit. We were dehumanized. We were wounded. We were killed. Don't let them get away with it. Don't let them get away with it. Don't let them get away with it.
I'm playing that because I'd never heard such a concise explanation of what it is that we're fighting on the left. I read a comment recently that said Hitler would have been ecstatic at having just a few of these tools, but just the words that are created that, oh, well, that was botched. No, it was not botched. It was planned. It was not bungled. It was planned, and it was planned in plain sight. I've seen the plain sight planning in Washington, where they are giving money from appropriations over to NGOs, knowing that, like she said, the NGOs are going to lease the academics. And so, say, in climate change, a lot of money was given to different organizations, but you as a scientist could not get funding for your project unless you were trying to prove that global warming did exist, that climate change did exist. And so the NGOs, the government is leasing the academics. They're only paying them to come up with one point of view. And then the next point that the poet makes is that the scientists fabricate the science. Again, we've seen that. Back about 10 years ago, the IPCC, the International Panel on Climate Change, had their emails hacked and released, and they were admitting, hey, we've got to take these numbers out because it ruins our hockey stick. If you're in science and you've got to take numbers out in order to create the right outcome, now you're not a scientist at all. You're fabricating science. And that's exactly what we've seen taking place. But the department's neutralizing that again has occurred. The law is shielding the corporations. So I watched the DOD, I watched the different agencies, especially the environmental agency, and they would give contracts out to people. No one ever checked if the money was spent properly, if it was spent at all. And then sometimes when the companies did follow through and bad things happened, the companies were protected by legislation. Right now, the tech companies are protected from any damage that they cause. Facebook is causing a lot of damage, but they're protected by law, so you can't sue them. And so this poem rings so true, and I've seen it operating up close and in person. That was one of the great successes for Trump, is that he fought the system. I don't think he understood it to this complexity, but he understood it intuitively. But what he was doing is trying to dismantle. That's the reason that corporations, government agencies, NGOs, all of the politicians, and a lot of politicians from both sides came against him, because he was getting at this entire system, this incestuous system that is really fabricating the outcomes. And when the reader says, don't let them get away with it, don't let them get away with it, that's the reason that I'm still in the fight, because I see them getting away with it. And at one point, I just told people in Washington that you can do everything you want to me, except one thing, you can't shut me up. And that was my service, because I didn't see with the thoroughness and the clarity that this poet brings to it. But let's consider the ivermectin. When COVID first started, I had an Indian doctor from Lubbock who I have known for some years, and we sat down at lunch, and he said, ivermectin is a drug that we only use for animals here in this country, but it's used around the world. He said, especially India. It's inexpensive. It's been around for decades. And the ivermectin does exactly what we need to do to stop the COVID. And he explained the processes by which it destroyed the COVID cell. It kept it from populating in your body. And so it was very, very good. Well, early on, ivermectin was used in an entire system. These Indian doctors, all familiar, discussed it, and they took it into their hospital. I don't remember which one it was. There are two major ones in Lubbock. And so one system used ivermectin completely and had almost no deaths, very little problem. I had a friend who had COVID here in Hobbs, had spent about 18 days in intensive care. Each day they thought was his last. They didn't think he would make it. Finally, a doctor from Lubbock came over, picked up my friend, drove him to Lubbock, put him in ICU, gave him ivermectin, and the next day he was better, and the day after he was out of the hospital completely. But then the system went into play. the system that the big pharmaceuticals realized that ivermectin was already out there.
It was cheap.
It was $5 for a dosage. And it was very effective with just one dosage. If they had to fight ivermectin, then they weren't going to make money. So you see the whole narrative taking place that, okay, this COVID thing was bungled and botched. It was released out of the lab, and then it wasn't released out of the lab. It came from somewhere else. It came from a bat. It was whatever. And so you see all of those languages coming in. But simultaneously with that, they began to run the disinformation campaign on ivermectin, eventually outlawing it so that doctors could not use it, could not prescribe it. And what happened? The pharmaceuticals made more money, became richer in the last 2 years than in all of their history, made a phenomenal wealth in the tens of billions of dollars because they were able to put out a very expensive vaccine that the government paid for. And so I think that we all should just take stock on both sides of the political aisle. We should take stock of what's happening. And when we see the genocide, when we see the killing fields, when we see these massive, massive deaths of people, then we better ask ourselves, how's it happening? It has all been planned. It is being planned in plain sight, and we should not let them get by with it. But right now, it looks like they're getting by with it. So stay tuned. I think we'll have a lot more discussions on this.
I'm talking with Steve Pearce, the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico. The program is Inside New Mexico, and we will be right back.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pearce. And Steve, something I saw in 60 Minutes a few weeks ago, I don't know if you saw this, but they did a whole story on how our Navy is starting to falter compared to China's. They're building theirs up. We're not. Our ships are in dry dock being repaired for months and months and months. And I just can't help but wonder if by broadcasting that information, if they're aiding and abetting the enemy.
Yeah, the enemy, believe me, knows exactly what the timetable is. They know their timetable and they know ours. So yeah, it's probably giving some aid to them. But to tell you the truth, they have enough spies in our country that they know the information before we do. When I traveled to China years ago, about 2005, maybe 2007, the Chinese shipbuilding, they had this big shipyard down near Shanghai, and they were pushing out four ships simultaneously, four big cargo ships, while we were trying to produce one, and they were producing at much shorter time and better quality. And so that's their great success, is that our work ethic in this country has been undermined by a government that pays people not to work. And it not only destroys our incentive, it destroys the work ethic, and it will destroy our competitive edge over the Chinese. And believe me, they are very good. We were not allowed to see their military shipbuilding, but their, again, this is 10, 12, 13 years ago, their latest submarine at that point was quieter, which is a very big measure of the effectiveness of submarines. It was more lethal and it was faster. So the three main elements of a warship, and at this point submarines, they were superior in every category. And so that's what we have to fear. So when these outsiders are coming in sowing hate between groups in America, dividing against each other, we should understand that the real threat is coming from outside, and we need to gather together. We need to harmonize. We need to find the common ground inside, knowing that the enemy is outside.
I hear some extremists say that we need a civil war, that our country's been taken over. That, I think, is exactly what our enemies want. Don't fall for that, folks. We do not want a civil war in the United States.
Yeah, we do not need a civil war. We don't want a civil war. That's destructive. And the Chinese, they might be helping plant those stories, to tell you the truth. Every day people ask if I am discouraged, if I find myself down, and I tell them almost never. Number one, that originates in my faith. I don't think that the outcome is up to me. But number two, I realize that the political truth that has always stood, that when you're ahead in politics, you're never as far up as you think you are. And when you're down in politics, you're never as far down as you think you are. And so I'm constantly trying to energize the Republican Party, trying to energize our candidates, to lift them up, to fight another day. Because until we give up, we'll not be defeated in this country. The country is basically center-right, which the Republican Party is center-right. All attempts to redefine us by the left are not going to succeed. The only thing that will succeed is if we quit. And so every day I give encouragement to Republicans, stand up and fight. Fight for what you believe. Fight for our values. Fight in the field of ideas. And we'll succeed because the people naturally agree with us, but sometimes we're not as articulate as we need to be. Stand up and get tough. We will win the fight.
Steve Pierce, thank you. And if you've been listening to Steve and I, and you would like to get more information about the Republican Party of New Mexico, there are several ways to do that. Check out their website at newmexico.gop. They have a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at New Mexico GOP. If you would like to speak to someone in person, you can call 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill, and we look forward to meeting with you again next week right here on Inside New Mexico.